Christmas. Praise the Lord.
Every foe is vanquished, and Christ is.
Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning. That should wake you up. Yep. But you said it down now, so that's good. All right, so we're so glad that you're here with us. If you are a visitor, we'd love to know that you came and visited with us this morning. If you could fill up the form that's in your bulletin and just drop it off in one of the boxes in the back, that would be wonderful. If you're online joining us, just go to our website, insidegrace.org, and just click contact us on the top right. We'd love to know that you came to visit with us today. A couple quick announcements. Youth ministry, we have our safe driving night this Wednesday. We'll have a great time. It'll be fun. You actually get to do our distracted driving course. Adults, pray for us. All right. But we do have our kids will be driving golf carts through a distracted driving course. The fun part is sometimes I'm the distraction. So it's for 7th through 12th grades. We are starting a little bit earlier at 6:30. So come. You can come hungry because we'll have food as well. Also, next Sunday, we have our congregational meeting. Everyone is welcome to attend. We're going to do it during the Sunday school hour. We will have children's ministry available, so that will be ages 0 to 6th grade. You do have class during that time frame. Youth and adults, we do not. We encourage you to be a part of that meeting. As we're talking about a congregational meeting, on your way out, feel free to grab one of the budget sheets as well as the sheets that include our candidates for elders and deacons. We do have a few new guys on there, so if you have any questions about them, feel free to reach out to the church office. More specifically, Chris Perkins for elders, and then for deacons, we have Michael Wells and Rennie Rendon. I'm sorry. And so look at those candidates, and if you do have any questions, like I said, reach out to the church office. We do have a treat this morning. It is a East Africa Missions Day. All right, so it's going to be cool. You'll hear from some great people, and they will let you know what's taking place over there. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue in our worship. Dear God, we come to you just so grateful for who you are, so grateful for the salvation that only comes from you, and thank you that we have the privilege of being called your children. Help us as we go into this worship to worship you in spirit and in truth, God, to worship you wholeheartedly. And as we hear from the team and such, God, allow us to be able to be encouraged and just equipped to go out to the mission field. It may not be East Africa, it may be even here, God, but help us to be equipped in that way to share the gospel with others. We thank you, God. We praise you. May you find joy in our worship this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And then you alone are high above it all.
separates us.
There is nothing that can ever separate us.
Praise you, Jesus.
There is nothing that can ever separate us from your love. No life, no death. Of this I am convinced that you, my God, are greater still.
to the Lord, for He is good.
So good.
His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And for all eternity, I'm going to praise Him. And forevermore, I will reign with Him. And forevermore, I will reign with Him.
Singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns, it's all God's children sing.
Good morning. Today we have the privilege of hearing an update on our East Africa missions. Those of you who've been here for any length of time know that we are very involved with missions, both locally and overseas. Since 1997, Grace has been sending over teams, short-term missions teams, to plant churches, which involves, of course, hut-to-hut evangelism. And during this time, we have seen 21 churches planted. We've had some 250 people go over on these short-term missions from this church. In addition to church planting, we've also been able to start an orphanage, build the building, and support that over the years, as well as see some 30,000 people come to Christ during those years. And then on top of that, we've also, give a hand there. That orphanage means that hundreds of youth, starting out as little children, as you'll see, have been able to get off the streets, kids who faced all sorts of struggles and difficulties, hunger. And then on top of that, the Bible College that also we helped begin and support, that Bible College has trained hundreds of individuals who've then gone on to be pastors, elders, leaders in the various churches. From the very beginning, we have been able to do a lot of this because of a man by the name of Morris Oginga and his wife, Ida, who come here every single year in December. They weren't able to come here this year. And as a result, that's why we're having this meeting, because typically they're here in December, January to speak. So we felt that, hey, well, let's go ahead and give an update of the work that's going on here. This ministry has really been powerful in East Africa, but it's also been powerful here because not only is it changed lives for many people over there, but it's also changed lives of the people here who've gone over and ministered. And so this has been an enriching experience for them, but also an enriching experience for us. And as you listen, hopefully it might cause some of you to think, you know, I want to be a little bit more involved than I have in the past. So let's pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to the team. All right? Lord God, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy that you have allowed us, this little church over here in North America, to have such an impact across the ocean in East Africa. We thank you for the churches that have been planted. We thank you for the school there, the people that have been trained to go out and be leaders in churches. And Lord, we thank you for the orphanage. We are so grateful for how you've been able to use the faithfulness of people here to make a difference over there, as well as the difference you've made in the hearts here through using us. We just pray that we would all be encouraged to hear the news of what's going on over there, especially over this last year, and then just to learn a little bit more about East Africa and the missionary work that we have there. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Well, good morning. Thanks, Dave. Almost tripped coming up here. I think John tripped me on the way up, but no, he didn't. As Dave mentioned, we are significantly involved in three facets of ministry in East Africa Mission. While there are other parts of the ministry, water wells and other parts, we typically focus on what I would call the big three. And that's what we're going to report on to you today. First of all, I will be reporting on church planting and the effect that COVID-19 has had on the ministry. And after that, John Wagner, Mike Kennison will get up and share with us about Luanda Children's Home and GICF. And last but not least, Paul Mitchell will come up and report on the Bible College that we support over there called Covenant Bible Institute of Theology. CBIT is what we refer to it as. Mixed in, we're going to have testimonies from Brenda Hodges and Pam Howard, who've gone over to East Africa. So church planting. Church planting, since there's so many new of you here, I thought I'd start it this way. How do we do church planting over in East Africa? Just to explain it to you. First of all, we begin... We plant a church, first of all, every other year. In January of that year that we're planting, we send about $40,000 to $45,000 over, approximately, to purchase land, build a church, and build a pastor's house. The funds are provided by your generous giving that comes out of our missions budget here at the church, which you'll learn more about if you haven't been here at next week's congregational meeting. Also in January and February, we begin by building a team of 15 to 25 individuals, short-term missionaries from this congregation, and start training them over the next 3 months for a June-July church plant. Here's a photo of the 2018 team. That hooligan over on the right, Scott Howard. Watch out for him. As you can see, not all the faces may be even familiar to you if you can see those out there. And that's because historically we've gotten other churches involved here in the area or even across the U.S. We get them involved so that they can see the ministry and go back to their churches and start planting also. Each short-term missionary, through God's provision, is responsible for raising their expenses to go on the trip. As Dave said, over 250 people from this church alone have gone over. Their lives have been changed. And they fulfilled the great commission that God commanded to them in Matthew 28, 16, where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So this team flies over to Uganda, Kenya, or Tanzania. Why? Where would we plant at one of those three countries? The presbytery decides where they have a pastor available, where land may be available, where the need is. They tell us where we're going to go to, Uganda, Kenya, or Tanzania. And we go in the community with our African brothers and sisters, and we labor together for an evangelistic outreach in that village. For about 7 to 8 days, we go in the community, hut to hut, person to person, shop to shop, engage people in conversation and share the simple gospel message with them and ask them if they want to put their trust in Jesus Christ. We participate in daily afternoon crusades in the local training center. A couple people get up and give testimonies. One person will get up and give a message and also share the gospel message and ask if anyone wants to come to know Jesus Christ and invites them. In addition, we go to schools and prisons, same format, testimonies, a little preaching, an invitation, the gospel, asking anyone if they want to come up. They're in prisons and schools, and we share that good news. Most years, we have a men's and women's conference to educate and uplift the believers that are in those churches that we've previously planted. And as Dave said, Grace has planted some 21 churches over the years. As a bonus, we get one day of downtime. We go to a game park and we spend some time souvenir shopping. Over the years, more than 35 churches here in the U.S. have gotten involved in this ministry. And the majority of those have gotten involved because of Grace Community Bible Church's influence. Men, women from here go to other churches. Maybe the Lord moves them on and they get that church involved. Or we invite churches to go with us every year. So far, a total of 129 community Bible churches, as they are called, have been planted over the years. 129. We planted community Bible churches in Uganda. In fact, all the ministry was just in Uganda to begin with. But when Morris and the presbytery came to us and asked us to branch out to Kenya and Tanzania, Grace got on board with that and planted the first churches in both of those countries. I'm so proud of Grace. I really am. The Grace family and the leadership here at Grace for all these years, for the longevity of involvement in East Africa. So many ministries, missions, if you will, don't stand the test of time. But you guys have stayed steady. You've stayed involved. You kept giving. You kept going. And now, some 24 years later, God is still using this church to change the lives of these people. Yes. Thank you, Lord. The Lord does this. The Lord does this, not us. He uses broken vessels to do all of this. Likewise, so many lives have been changed here at Grace. For me, God used this ministry really to grow me up in the faith. My walk was a little bit stagnant. I'd gotten saved and then plateaued. But then the Lord brought me into this ministry through someone else inviting me and asking me to go. Through this ministry, my skills were developed in sharing the gospel. In fact, they were all made there because I had never shared my faith with anyone at all. Speaking in public, I was never able to speak in public, and here I am before you today. Well, if you want to call it that. And also teach me the word. Well, 2020, 2020 was a bit different, wasn't it, for all of us? Well, East Africa ministry, church planting, the orphanage, the Bible college, there was no exception there either. We had already, for church planting, we had already recruited a team in January of 2020, started having meetings, sent funds over for a church and a pastor's house and land to be bought in a little village called Bunanimi. Then the corona hit. Kung flu. I got a little bit. All right. Hit. And everything came to a screeching halt. By the way, a little more humor. Here's some t-shirts you can buy online. I'm not an introvert. I'm social distancing. Okay. Let's not tell some people when the quarantine is over. That's right. Here's another one. Here's a t-shirt. Can we uninstall 2020 and install it again because this version had a virus? Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway, I think the Scottish proverb that says, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Well, in this case, that was correct. Yes, things took an unexpected course for all of us. But wasn't that the case for all of our lives? After Corona hit, life in East Africa didn't remain the same either. Borders were closed, along with the airports. Travel was limited. No one was allowed outside after 2 p.m. Businesses, schools, and churches closed. Just like here, major economic issues were caused. It was a total mess. But on the positive side, but God. Isn't it that case for all of our lives? But God. When things are going wrong, but God. God, he knew what he was doing. Behind the scenes, men were able to get in and build the Bunanimi Church and the pastor's house. Pastor Roger Wafumbo, a graduate from the Bible College, he and his wife and three children were able to make it to the church, start ministering in that community, start doing church, start preaching the word of God there somehow. Also on the positive side, in 2020, this church, you, believe it or not, you may have not even known, sent funds over to repair some of the older churches. We originally built these without the walls, interior and exterior walls being finished. They didn't have concrete floors. They just had dirt floors. We were able to go in, send funds over last year and update some of these churches. They had weathered over time because of this, and it was wonderful ministry that happened this last year. They needed a facelift. And if the Lord provides, there are 14 more churches that we desire to send the funds over to do the same thing for this year. So unless the Lord returns before June, let's hope, right? Let's hope the Lord returns. But if not, and travel restrictions don't change, we are planning on building a team and going over to Uganda to finish what God started last January, February in 2020 in that village of Bunanimi. If you desire to go, the Lord is laying on your heart. You always wanted. You want to be stretched. You want your life to be changed. If your life has become stagnant, I encourage you, volunteer for this trip. Go. You may not feel equipped. The Lord will equip you with everything that you need. For me, that was the case. Get with myself. Get with Paul Mitchell. Get with Pastor Dave. We desire that you go. The Board of Elders want everyone to go over to Africa if you have, and the Lord lays on your heart. And I pray that we get to go over this year, and I pray that the Lord moves in the hearts of this congregation to be a part of what he's doing over there. It truly will change your life. So moving on, I want to ask Brenda Hodges to come up and give a testimony. If you've ever talked to Brenda Hodges about Africa, well, you'll find out soon that this ministry really did work in her life. So Ben's been over a couple of times on church plants and also for men's and women's conference, in 2019. Brenda.
Good morning, everybody. Well, as Keith said, my name is Brenda Hodges, and what a blessing it was for me to serve alongside my friends in Kenya in 2018. Now, I've been on several mission trips to East Africa, and I would say that going to Kenya was my most difficult. It was very difficult for me. First of all, 1 week before the trip, I broke my toe. which meant later in Kenya, it was going to be very difficult for me and painful to walk the trails doing hut-to-hut evangelism with my interpreter. And you can see him up here. His name is Gregory, and he was really awesome. I would say the most difficult part of my time in Kenya was visiting the Kisumu Men's Maximum Security Prison. And did you catch it? I said maximum security prison. Well, the day our team arrived there, I thought only the men on our team would be speaking. So I had not prepared anything in advance. Once inside Kisumu, I could feel the darkness of the place. It was truly a horrible place. If you can imagine a concentration camp, it's even worse than that. It was bad. Well, once we got inside there, I was still feeling uncomfortable, but not as being uncomfortable sitting in front of 300 prisoners, all men. I just felt very uncomfortable as they were all staring back at me. On stage, I happened to be sitting next to Paul Mitchell, and at one point, he leans over to me and he asks me if I'd like to give my testimony. And I just smile and say, no. He thought I was kidding, so he asked me again, would you like to give your testimony? I just smiled again and said, no. So I thought I was off the hook. And so I'm sitting there and, you know, the program begins and I'm like, yes, yes, I don't have to speak. Which I should have been sitting there thinking, well, you know, I should, you know, you should do it. But no, I wasn't thinking that at all. But God had other plans, because the master of the ceremonies of the event comes over to me, first person, and hands me the mic and says, please give your name and a brief testimony. Yeah, yeah. So I smiled and I took that microphone, and as I was walking to the front of the stage, I just prayed, Lord, you and I know, you both know, we both know that I can say my name, but the rest, would you please supply the rest, because I have nothing. But God is, Keith said, but God is so faithful, and he did supply the words I needed to speak to those men, and they needed the light of the world to them. They needed something to give them encouragement. And you know, God is so faithful. He is really so faithful to meet us when we humbly come before him, confessing he is alone all we need. You know, this was a difficult trip, but it caused such growth in my faith, and if I had to do it over again, I would. In 2019, I was blessed to go to Uganda to be a part of a women's prayer conference. And while I was there, I got a visit. I got to go visit the Luanda Children's Home. And it is a beautiful place. It is a wonderful home for children in Uganda to be loved on, to be provided for, to be taught many skills, but most of all, to be taught about Jesus and how Jesus loves them so much. So to tell you more about the Luanda Children's Home, John Wagner and his team are going to come up. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you for that introduction to Luanda Children's Home. It is a wonderful place to visit, and I'll be sharing a little of my visit shortly. But first, a few facts. Luanda Children's Home started in the hearts of Grace Community Bible Church members during our first church plant in Bulalelo. They were so overwhelmed by the physical needs of the children, mostly orphaned by the AIDS epidemic, that they returned home wanting to do more. In 2001, they created Grace International Children's Foundation, or GICF. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization they began to work to plan, raise funds, buy land, ship building materials, and ultimately build a dormitory, dining hall, and on a place called Luanda. Luanda Children's Home opened in 2004 with 12 children. 13 more were added a month later, and the adventure began. The name Luanda means the rock, which is appropriate because Luanda Children's Home is the rock, or the foundation, upon which we rescue, love, and change the lives of these children. And God is the foundation and strength upon which we operate. It is not easy to build and operate a children's home on the other side of the world in a very different culture. But by the grace of God and support of Grace Community Bible Church and many other churches and donors, we have been successful, even to the point of celebrating our first two university graduates a few weeks ago. Our mission statement is to establish sustainable, loving homes for orphans in East Africa that develop children to reach their full potential. So reaching their full potential goes well beyond food and shelter. Our objective is to develop productive and intelligent children who can positively impact Uganda for many years to come. So education is important. We built our own Luanda primary school, and we do everything we can for these kids to get them through trade school or university education so that they could not give them that education that they could not have hoped for in their village life. Here are photos taken of our first 12 kids in 2004, and those same kids 10 years later in the same order. It is great to see the kids transform from rescued orphans to happy children to educated and mature young adults. We try to rescue kids every year. Here are some stories from our 2019 group. In this group of six, Jacqueline and Timothy on the left-hand side are siblings, and Zulesi and Brian in the middle are siblings. When we are able, we try to keep siblings together. This is where Brian and Zulesi came from. This is a fairly typical dirt floor mud hut house with kids being raised by an elderly grandparent or relative. They don't have the resources to feed additional kids when the mother and father die or disappear, so life is a challenge with little, if any, safety net. And here are Timothy and Jacqueline. Their appearance before and after is striking. So over the 15 or so years since Luanda Children's Home opened, we have grown to caring for about 130 children ranging from preschool to university ages. In just the last 3 years, we've taken the major conversion of from dormitory-style housing to individual homes. We want these children who do not have a family to learn what family means so they can build strong families of their own someday. As for me and why I'm up here talking to you now, I was invited to join the GICF board in 2017. And in 2018, I took my first trip to Uganda. Here I am with Adrian. And these pictures are from a visit to villages where two of our recently rescued kids came from. Here is another dirt floor mud hut where one of our kids lived just a few months prior. What you may not be able to clearly see in this picture, I'll identify her, is a white-haired elderly woman on her knees giving thanks to God and thanks to our staff for giving her granddaughter a much better life. I understood then how those on the first church plant team came home wanting to do more. And for you old-timers who were here when we got things going and helped raise funds and fill the shipping containers, which were right over here in our parking lot, those shipping containers are still in use in Luanda, providing dry storage over here. Since we can't travel right now, let me take you on a one-minute tour of Luanda Children's Home. This is the original dormitory and dining hall. And in the back, you can see a little bit of the girls' dormitory. I'm going to give you a quick 360-degree view to show you the new homes that we've built. So coming up are houses 1 and 2. And we see there the front entrance gate and the basketball court. There's Luanda Primary School in the background. Here's houses 3 and 4. And we're coming up on houses 4 and 5. And as we continue the tour, you get a better view of the girls' dormitory coming up right there. And then back to the main building. Now, I'll back up a little bit to a bit of empty space that you may have seen. This is where we plan to build houses 7 and 8. We had actually planned to build them last year, but we're not able to do that because of the shutdowns. But we are going to get that done this year in 2021, Lord willing. So finally, I want to emphasize the very strong ties between Grace International Children's Foundation and Grace Community Bible Church. Not only did GICF start at Grace, but there are currently three board members from Grace, three who used to be at Grace and are still active on the board, and several others from Grace have served on the board. And to all of you who volunteer and donate faithfully to GICF, thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to ask Carla Bogard, Mike Kennison, and Pam Howard to come on stage. Please feel free to interrupt or contact any of us over the, well, if you run into us, have any questions about GICF, we'll be glad to answer them. I'm going to start a loop of showing the happy faces of our primary school age kids, and I'll turn the mic over to Mike. And so he can tell you about his journey to GICF and describe our child sponsorship drive. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. So I just have a few words to say. First off, I'd like to say that traveling to Africa is really a great way to get involved, like firsthand, with the work that's being done there. But this may not be possible for all of you for one reason or another, or it may just not be a desire that God's put on your heart at this time, and that's okay. I just want to encourage you that you don't have to go there to get involved with what's happening there. Personally, I have not been to East Africa myself. For one reason or another over the years, it hasn't worked out. I've appreciated seeing what's happening over there, and I really feel like there's amazing things going on, and I do want to go, if not this year, then sometime soon. A little over a year ago, an opportunity came up. I was invited, like John, to be a member of the GICF board. And at this time, it really kind of coincided with a feeling that I was having, just wanting to get more involved in a ministry that had a child focus. So when the opportunity came along, I jumped on it, and I came on the board, and I've been serving since then with John and Carla from Grace, and then several others from around the country and around the world. So having said all that, you don't have to become a board member either to help with what's going on in Africa. One way that's attainable for everybody in this room is through child sponsorship. And that's what I want to talk about today. For $30 a month, you get paired up with a child that has been rescued from a life of danger and neglect. And not only with this money, are you helping meet their physical needs, but you get to have a personal relationship. You get to know the child. You can correspond with them. You get updates. And, you really get to know each other through that. So for the next 2 weeks in between services, we had it today as well. You may not have seen it, but in the coffee house in the back, we're going to have a booth set up. And between Carla and John and I, somebody will be there. And you can actually sign up to sponsor a child right there. We'll have a laptop, and you can do it from the website. Or you can take a card with you. We'll have cards available, and you can see them on the screen. The writing's kind of small, but we can explain more in detail if you wander over there. You can take a card with you to sign up at home. The card, we have two types of cards. One is for a specific child that's shown on the card. And then if you sign up, you'll get paired with that child. Another alternative is to take a card that's more generic. And you can sign up to sponsor one or more children on the card. And then a child will be paired for you just based on need. Regardless, the sign-up occurs online in the system. The website has a really nice interface to sign up, and the card has the web address on it and also a QR code. For those of you that know what that is, I learned about those recently. You can scan it with your camera on your phone, and it'll take you right to the website to sign up there as well. So we hope to see you in the coffee house the next two Sundays. But also remember, you can sign up anytime on the website. It's not just here in the coffee house. It's not temporary. It's always available. So we hope you'll take the opportunity to do that. So thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Now, Pam Howard will give some of her personal experiences there.
As John said, I'm here to just sort of give you a little testimony of my experience of going. My first time that I got to go to East Africa was in 2012, and that was my very first time to go on a mission trip, and went with a team of eight, and we went to share the gospel, which is an amazing thing I could talk lots about, but I won't. It's just a great thing. You step out of your comfort zone, and great things happen. God does great things. But I went, also got to spend a day at the orphanage, a whole day. And that's a big thing to give up when you're on a mission trip, even as wonderful as LaWanda is, but what a blessing it was. So I went with a teenage girl, Rachel Grindstaff. She and I were sent over there to spend a day at the orphanage because we were going to test the students. I am a speech pathologist, and so I was asked to test some of the kids who were having trouble with their speech. So that's what I did. I took my test materials and some treatment materials, and we went to test. And we were told we'd have five or six kids, but we got there, and then we found out we had 30. So we had to change things up a bit. But that's okay. I'm a speech path, and I'm used to being flexible. And when you're in Africa, you're really used to being flexible. Things change, and you're good with that. God's in charge, and you follow his lead. And the team leaders are in charge. So anyway, long story short, we did get to test. And you can see up there, I'm testing in a couple of those pictures. That's when I switched to a screening mode, because testing a kid usually takes at least an hour. And I had 30, and we were not going to be there long enough to do that. So I switched to screenings and speech samples. But you can see Rachel, who used to be here at Grace with us, doing some testing too. When we started, she was doing a formal assessment, and then we had to change gears. So anyway, it was just a great day of blessing. I could use my skill, and then I was able to teach some of the staff some of the things I do. I was able to send them more material through email, and so it was just a great way to use my talent. And some of you might say, maybe I don't have a talent or a skill that I could use there, but I guarantee you there's something God could do there. If you felt the Lord's leading to go there and serve, he's got something for you to do. But my testimony is also that he uses our time and our treasure. So God used my time, my talent, and my treasure. I took my time. I gave up my agenda and my to-do list. I used some of my treasure too, and of course my skills. But treasure-wise, I sponsor a child there. And so there's two pictures, one in 2012 when Kezia Peace was 7, and again in 2019 when she's about 14, and Scott and I are praying for her. So it's just a huge blessing to sponsor a child, so I encourage you to do that. And I love the new thing. We're going to talk about sponsoring the young people learning to be pastors. That's cool too. So I just want you to know that God will equip you with whatever he gives you to do. And he wants to use your time, talent, and treasure. Just follow his leading, and please. LaWanda is a perfect place to do that. And all the things we do in East Africa are really great opportunities. So step out of your comfort zone and don't be afraid to serve. It'll be a huge blessing to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Good morning. We're going to jump over and talk about the third facet that Keith described earlier, and that is about the Covenant Bible Institute of Theology. Grace began supporting the CBIT in the year 2000. Now, CBIT had been an entity and had been going for a few years prior to that, but again, as a result of the church planting work that we did there, GICF was an outgrowth of that. Supporting CBIT was also an outgrowth of that. We support it in several ways. Grace, in particular, has been very keen on funding the actual day-to-day operations of CBIT, but we've also participated in building programs and education. Of course, we see the young men and women that go there educated, but we've also hand-plucked a few of those students and sent them off to other universities so that they can get hired, trained with other degrees and come back and actually teach at CBIT. So we've had an opportunity to do that as well. Of course, the college is a natural pipeline for men and women that have come to Christ through the ministry. And we've been over to Uganda, like Keith said, something on the order of 24 years now. And so some of us who've been able to go rather consistently have been in a position to see young kids come to know Jesus Christ through this ministry. We've seen them grow up in their faith in Christ, and we've seen some of them decide to go into ministry enroll in CBIT, come out and be pastors of churches. So we see this whole cycle going through on a year-by-year basis. And at CBIT, the requirement is 3 years of coursework with 1 year of mandatory service before they actually get their degree. So they'll do their 3 years of coursework at the school itself, and then they're required to have a year either locally under a senior pastor or back at their home church under the senior pastor there and work for a year before they can get their degree. And as has been said by Pastor Dave and Keith, we've trained well over 200 men as pastors through that work. Just a little note on the building programs. We've had two campaigns of recent. One of those, putting together the primary administrative block and library, that was started in 2012, completed basically in 2014. That was a major requirement of the National Council of Higher Education in Uganda when they came to provide a provisional license for the college, the Bible College. One of the requirements is that we had a true separate administrative block and library. You can see on the left side of the picture there a bunch of the students and staff in front of the administrative block. And there's a picture of the library is just below that. And one of the other requirements from the NCHE was that we needed to have a dining hall and kitchen and dormitories for the students. And you can see in that picture to the right that we're near completion of all of that. So the dining hall and kitchen are the bottom level of that building, dormitories on the top level of that building. And once that's done, that's a major requirement from the NCHE to actually get a full license to operate. Just a few fast facts as I've labeled them. We did obtain our provisional license from the NCHE in 2015, but our provisions for getting a full license are nearly complete. I just showed you the dormitory, dining hall, and kitchen. So we're well on our way now to actually completing the requirements for a full license. The college closed for most of 2020 because of COVID, but we hope to see it fully open in February 2021 this year. We've also, in September, we were also able to secure the title deed to the property. You might think that's an easy thing, but in Uganda, it's not. These things all start out as handshake deals. No documentation, no paperwork. So it takes quite a while for us to go get the surveys done that need to be done and get the paperwork through. So 2020 or 20 years later, we've actually got the title deed to the property. That property also includes Morris's Church and the Covenant Primary School operation. As John talked about sort of the connection between GICF and GCBC, we also have a strong connection still between CBIT and Grace. We do have one member here at Grace on the board. We have one alumnus, Grace alumnus, Keith Bauer, is also on the board. And we've got many other faithful donors and volunteers here in the congregation. Scott Howard went with me in 2019 to go evaluate what was going on at the school. So a lot of individuals involved here in this congregation. And we did want to give you an opportunity. We have started a new program of student sponsorships. You've got an opportunity to choose a student or students and pray for them regularly. The full sponsorship for a student is $160 a month. It takes care of costs for college expenses, housing, food, things of that sort, books. You can train a pastor for a lifetime of ministry through that program. And, of course, countless lives are saved for Jesus Christ through that work. You can do a full sponsorship or a half or a quarter of a student, and you go in with other folks to help sponsor that student. And I'm going to talk briefly about a very successful program we ran this early last year, which really helped out a lot of what was going on in in East Africa with regard to COVID. Papers are sticking together here. Just a few fast facts. A pastor relief fund was organized to provide food and funds during the COVID-19 emergencies. To give pastors active in East Africa ministry and the staff of CBIT some relief. That accounted for approximately 150 individuals between those two entities. The goal was to raise $30,000. That was $200 for each of the 150 individuals. That $200, depending on the circumstances, represented somewhere between 1 and 3 months of typical salary. We started the campaign, or we created the campaign, on April 26th. We initiated the campaign on May 1st. We reached our goal of $30,000 on May 15th, and we concluded the campaign on June 6th. So in 2 weeks, we raised $30,000 for this program. It's pretty cool. As far as the campaign results go, we had 63 total donors. 92% were donating online. We raised donations of $40,700 compared to the $30,000 goal, and 60% of that was done online as well. So a great result. And then just a few, some pictures the upper two pictures are pictures of Ida Oginga delivering those funds to pastors in the field. And then, because we did go well over our $30,000, the other $10,700 was used to help congregational members who were in dire need, and also some local community members as well. Thank you very much. I'll ask Keith to come back up.
Thank you, Paul. So I know that's a lot of information to swallow. So you can go to these websites. You can talk with myself, Paul, or John, Pastor Dave, the other elders, and many others here that know about this ministry if you want more information. The kiosks are going to be open for today and the next 2 weeks. Go over to those if you want to sponsor a child, you want to get involved. Talk with myself or Paul, Pastor Dave, about our mission trip that we hopefully will be coming up this year. We want you to get involved and be a part of it. By the way, who knows what a QR code is now? It's like, you know, you're searching, restaurants, you're like searching for it, trying to get your menu, you know? No, forget it. All right, let's pray. Thank you. We went over our time. Thank you for your patience. Yeah, let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you, Lord, most of all, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we sang the song, All Hail King Jesus. And it is true, Lord, we should all be hailing him, Lord, and giving him glory for all, Lord, because it is all about him. It is not about us. Lord, this ministry only goes on because of what you do, not because of our human effort. Lord, and as you continue on, if you continue on, Lord, may you lay on each of our hearts how to be involved, if you desire for each of us to be involved. Move in our hearts. Move in our thoughts, Lord, of how you would want us to be involved, Lord. I thank you for this church, Lord, in their involvement over the years. Bless this church tremendously, the congregation, for that longevity, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Your love endures forever, we also sing this morning, Lord. And so we do rest on that, Lord. Your love endures forever in our life. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.